Hi, and welcome to the World Peace Diet Facilitator Circle. I'm your course coordinator, Steve Prusak. It's good to be with you. And just to keep in mind, you've got your July 2013 resources available in the membership site. That's ready for download now. And as always, you can submit your questions in that section of the membership site as well. It's going to be *2 to raise your hand and get on the phone with Dr. Will Tuttle tonight. And without further delay, thank you, everyone. Let's welcome to the call right now Dr. Will Tuttle.
Hi, Steve. Thank you so much
for
coordinating everything so well. I really appreciate it. I know everyone does, and also for being such an important part of our World Peace Diet Circle. So how's everybody doing? Hope you're doing well. It's kind of warm here in Northern California. I just got back. And I wanted to go ahead and jump in. We have lots to talk about here tonight, and it's just wonderful. I think it's such a great opportunity to have a community like this where we can share about what the World Peace Diet is focusing on, essentially, and attempting to seed, in a sense, plant in our society a mentality of radical inclusiveness, of compassion, not human animals, as well as, of course, humans, as well as ourselves and future generations, and to bring together the various dimensions, really, of ourselves as human beings and our society, the spiritual, as well as and philosophical, as well as the psychological, as well as the environmental, as well as just the plain, good old, creative, exuberant life force that we're all manifestations of, to really celebrate, learn to celebrate our lives on this beautiful planet rather than creating a society of competition and lack and limitation and stress and war and terror, really, for so many non-human animals as well as human animals. So thank you all for hearing the call on some level and being with us on this call. I'd like to begin, as we very often do, by inviting us wherever we happen to be. I know some of you perhaps are sitting quietly at home or somewhere else, or some of you may be on the road driving. Some of you may be listening to this tomorrow or the next day, our friends in Europe and so forth. But wherever we happen to be, if we can, let's just take a moment and turn our attention within and realize that we are indeed blessed to be born on this earth at this time, to have the precious gift of a human incarnation where we can grow in wisdom, grow in insight and awareness and mindfulness and consciousness and compassion and love and freedom and creativity, where we can increase our understanding of the truth that we are, and where we can also contribute creatively to the healing of our world and to making a society that cares for everyone, and to helping reduce the ignorance and hard-heartedness that we very often find in our society. We give thanks for our loved ones and for each other, for the whole web of life on this beautiful earth, and for all of the other activists and advocates and people who are working with us, in a sense, shoulder to shoulder in some way to help build a more enlightened society. It's great to know that we're not alone in this, even though very often it does seem like we're virtually alone, depending on our situation. Very often we're outnumbered 100-1 or worse. but in fact, I think we have with us the majority, the overwhelming majority of conscious, aware beings in the universe are, I think, on our side, in the sense that it's not our side, it's the side of love and awareness and of moving toward a future that is beckoning us, a future of abundance and of peace and harmony and sustainability that is inevitable, ultimately, if we are going to be actually continuing on this earth as human consciousness. So there's a lot to talk about. Let's just close this part by feeling a sense of gratitude and a sense of love and appreciation for each other and for all the beings who are on this earth with us. Some of them I know are somewhat covered over or wounded in such a way that it's difficult to for them to show compassion and kindness for themselves or for others. But as we have patience and grow in our understanding, I think we'll be able to be more effective in reaching everyone, those who are moving quickly toward understanding and those who are perhaps a little farther away in some way. So as we always say, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, press star 2 on your phone, and that will make us aware that you would like to say something. And I'm happy, overwhelmingly happy to entertain any thoughts or questions or comments from people, from all of you. And you can also, if you're at your computer and listening there, I think you're aware that you can type it in and we can see it if I'm alert here. And so I have to do like 3 or 4 things at once, but to try to see the questions that come in over there on that other tab. So we're going to go ahead and dive in here and talk a little bit about the fact that I just returned from Europe and gave some lectures in Eastern Europe, Slovenia and Croatia to be exact, and maybe some of the lessons from that. I do notice that there is a hand up here that just came up, so maybe before I dive into that, I'll go ahead and let's hear. It just says anonymous, so I'm not sure who it is, but let's go ahead and unmute anonymous. And
hi, Will.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Veronica.
Oh, hi. Hi. Good to have you with us. You're calling from California?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry for the anonymous. My phone number is restricted. I wanted to thank you so much, first of all, for coming to Pasadena recently. It was a treat to see you and Madeline. And having talked to you really opened a lot of doors for me and a lot of I did a lot of thinking after talking with you in Pasadena, and that led me to create new projects, including a vegan boot camp.
Great.
Which I'm going to, I think I posted it on the World Peace Diet page, but if I didn't, I will. It's going to be held in Los Angeles on August 11, which is a Sunday, at the Los Angeles Vegan Crepe, which is a French vegan restaurant. Owned by two friends of mine who are gracefully letting me use their location for events. I've been doing movie screenings with Q&As, and now I decided that I was going to do a boot camp to help vegans and people who want to go vegans to thrive and to really get empowered. And this is really a result of talking with you, because I wasn't very clear until that point on what I need to do with my training as a holistic practitioner and as somebody who also took your course. And this really, something you said when we met really clicked, and I decided that, you know, there is a lot of work being done trying to make new vegans out there, but there is not enough work, I think, done to help already existing vegans to thrive and get empowered and be the best advocates and be the best people that they can be. So I decided I was going to try to fill that void and start bringing all my experience and education in order to help vegans and vegans to be to really be the at the top of their games and be the best advocates that they can be and be the best people that they can be. And I'm hoping that this way, because I know that we discussed the fact that there are a lot of people who fall off the vegan wagon, and that really disturbed me. And I want to help people not fall off the wagon. I want to really be able to create a support system in which people can, you know, find answers to their questions and find a network of support and growth at the same time, because I believe veganism is not just about helping other animals, but it's also about helping others. And as you mentioned about wounds, it is really about healing our own wounds first before we can be, you know, able to really efficiently advocate for others.
Right. Great. So wow, this is
gonna
exciting.
Be
go ahead. Sorry.
It's the first one, and I had actually requests when I started launching this on Facebook. I know people asking me if I was going to do this also as a webinar, and I'm thinking of doing that. I just need to learn a little bit more about how I'm going to do this and figure out what's going to work best, because you cannot really do in the physical world the same thing as you can do in the virtual world. And I have been exploring the idea of also doing, speaking in the virtual world, maybe trying to do things in virtual platforms like Second Life, because there are a lot of educational universities using Second Life for education. And I'm thinking, why not educate people towards veganism also on the Second Life virtual world? I've met a lot of vegans in that, in the virtual world as well as in the physical world, and there's no reason why it should be limited.
Right. Great. Yeah, it's. I hope everybody can appreciate what you're saying. You kind of jumped in really quickly with your idea, which is, I think, almost. It's just terrific. I mean, it's the idea of a vegan boot camp. I did notice that you had posted it on the World Peace Diet Facebook group, and I thought that's terrific, you know, that you're doing something like this. And I wasn't really sure exactly what the focus is, so it's good to hear that it's really about empowering people who are vegans to be more effective advocates. And I think, you know, it's you're well equipped to do that, Veronique, and it's great.
Thank you.
You know, and I think doing it both on the physical, like you say, on the physical world as well as on the virtual world, it's two different ways of approaching it, but it's all necessary.
Maybe I can read you quickly like the summary of what the boot camp is going to be about to give an idea to people what it is I'm going to do. It's very short. Basically, why is it hard to convince people to go vegan and what we can do about it? Discover the importance of language and how certain words are powerful while others are better avoided when talking to non-vegans. Expand communication skills with practice exercise. And for that, I remember the exercise we did during your course on how to talk to other people who are non-vegan and, you know, and usual difficult questions we get from them, like, you know, where do you get your protein, as well as, you know, I love my meat, I could never go vegan, that kind of stuff.
Right, the role-playing.
the role-playing. I'm going to do a little practice like this during the boot camp, when I invite people to practice and do a little bit of a fun game with this. Develop the right attitude to win them over by learning inner holistic skills. So this is where my education comes into play. Learn how to avoid burnout as an activist by learning simple, holistic, and restorative methods. And, of course, a Q&A where people can ask questions regarding issues they may have as vegans. And all this includes also an organic and GMO-free vegan buffet we're going to have on the same day. So people will be able to eat after that.
How many hours is it going to be, the event?
I'm thinking of doing the workshop for maybe 1 hour, maximum 1.5. Depending on, you know, how much people want to talk, because I hope this is going to make people want to ask questions and really get involved. And if they get involved, then it's going to be extended to 1.5 hours, and then we can eat after that and keep talking and keep chatting among each other. But I want to try to make it fun. I want to try to make it informative, educational, and bring ideas that people maybe don't have. And one of the reasons also I want to do this, which is a big issue for me, is when I notice so much, you know, anger among vegans towards each other, not just towards non-vegans, but there's a lot of anger and even hate that I see in forums, which really bothers me. And I don't think this is something that we should be like as vegans, that we really need to embody the meaning of the word vegan, being a compassion and inclusiveness and caring. And it's not just for other animals, but also for each other and other people. So there have been a lot of brainstorming in my head in the past few months, and after we talked, it was even more so. And I started thinking about all of this, and I started, you know, rehearsing the idea in my head for several weeks until I thought, okay, this is it. I got to do this. I really got to get to do this. And I got to bring all my education in it and all my experience as an activist and et cetera, et cetera. And then because also I trained with Toastmasters, which is a beautiful organization which helps with public speaking and helping people being, you know, better speakers. I can also use those skills I've learned with Toastmasters and bring those on and help people who have difficulties speaking their truth.
Right, right, right. Great. Well, that's you're going to be packing a lot into a relatively short time, but that's good, you know. And then maybe you can offer another one later. That'd be great.
Yes,
to hear. Maybe next month you can maybe let us know how it all goes. I hope, you know, people can sign up. And, you know, if anybody's listening in Southern California, where can they go? Is there a website or something that you have?
It is. If they go to meetup.com and join the Beverly Hills Vegan Meetup group, and they'll see they will see the event there. They have to register. It's only $35, and that is mostly for the food, really. And
right.
It's going to be, I'm going to be giving away a little bit of materials, and hopefully they will get a lot out of it. That is my intention, to give them the best value that I can give them.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks for letting us know about this. I think it's a huge gift you're giving to the community, and I think it's just the beginning. You know, I see this is a great way to get started, and it's a great idea, vegan boot camp. I really like it. So,
thank you.
thanks for thinking of it. And yeah, it was great to see you, and quite a few others that are on the call now when we were in Southern California.
Yeah, the virtual spiritual, yeah. The vegan spirit church, which was just wonderful. It was, what a beautiful
right.
day.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
It was
great,
really wonderful to see you and Madeline, and give my best to Madeline, a big hug from me.
Okay,
Madeline.
I thank you. I sure will.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for letting
thank
us
you.
Know about this. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Great. Okay. Great. Thanks. Wow, that's really exciting. I think that's exciting news. Veronique is forging ahead, really, with this. Vegan boot camp idea that she said was inspired by the visit we had down there. And these are great ideas. You know, this is something that we can all do in whatever community we happen to be living. We don't have to call it a vegan boot camp, but I think as time goes on and we learn more and we get more confidence, it's so helpful to share these ideas with others. And we don't have to be the greatest expert in the world. Just be a good facilitator. You know, just let people talk and ask questions of each other and create a space of questioning and support. It's one of the things that we really, I think, find the most helpful in our advocacy work for spreading the vegan message, and also just for our own self-confidence and for our own sanity in a non-vegan world. To put on events that promote veganism, it's a great way to reaffirm the teachings for ourselves, and I found myself also to learn how to articulate the ideas more skillfully, and also to understand them more deeply, as well as, of course, to help other people and plant seeds in their lives. So thank you so much, Veronique, again, for letting us know about your vegan boot camp idea, and it's going to be happening, I think you said, on August 11th. Anyone who wants to find out more about these things, of course, if you go online to the World Peace Diet group on Facebook, there's a continuous stream of news and things there, and Veronique, I know, has posted about that there. And it's good to use whatever means we can to communicate with each other, and it seems like the Internet's one of the ways that works very well. besides, of course, things like this, like a teleconference. We have also, actually, Pamela from, I think, the Seattle area with your hand up, so I will go ahead and, yes, Pamela.
Oh, hey, Will. Hi, everybody. I was just going to mention that I have a 5-week online course as well, and it's all about veganism. It's five webinars, 1-hour webinars. Then we have a Q&A, and then I also team them up with the study buddy. And it's kind of cool because people have said you can get 1,000, you know, so many recipes online, but they really like how to go through change, how to communicate with people. So I add in a lot of other things too, and it seems to be going pretty well. So I just wanted to throw it out. It's at Elemental Cuisine if anybody wants to look at it or get some ideas there.
Great. So it's elementalcuisine.com. Is that right?
Yeah, you got
it. Put Elemental Cuisine. Just Google Elemental Cuisine. And you said that's a 5-week online course. You can just start when you want. Is that kind of a thing?
Yeah, I actually got the idea because I was teaching an in-person course at Bellevue College. So I took everything from that class that I was interacting with people and really finding out exactly what they wanted. And then I made it into a webinar. And then I thought, okay, let them listen to the webinar for an hour on their own, and then we'll have a Q&A call for an hour. And then some other documentaries I recommend in between time. And so it's interactive. It's like a hybrid of them just watching on their own, plus we get together too.
Oh, yeah. So you have a call every week then, plus they have the is it audio or video recording they can watch?
Well, it's a webinar, so I've done a whole screencast.
Yeah.
You can just do screen flow, so you can talk them through the webinar, and then they can get that whenever they want to. And then also I figure to have a study buddy, and that's optional. If they want, I will give them the name of somebody else so they can talk to that other person in between when we get together for the Q&A calls. And that's always helpful, you know, to have a study buddy along the way.
Definitely, yeah. Right, yeah, we offer that here as well, and we found that people love it. Yeah, it's great to do, you know, work together and talk to each other about the ideas. So, wow, fantastic. It's very inspiring to hear. And you know, Madeline and I are coming to Seattle we're heading to the Northwest at the end of August, and we'll be there in September. So,
yeah, August. I'm going to be in a place. I don't think I'll see you, but you never know.
Okay, great. Thanks for letting us know. Anything else? Or that was the
main thing. Nope, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Pamela. Keep up the great work.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing about that. Elemental Cuisine. We have to check that out. I think that's really very interesting. Great. All right. And, you know, it's interesting to see there's such a variety of formats these things can take. You know, like Veronique was saying, we can do something on the physical. We can do something on the virtual. And I know there's a number of you on the call who are doing things in both of these ways. And by phone is another way. And we have also on the line with us, I just realized we have Mark. Mark Stroud with his hand up, so that's good. Mark, your hand is up, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute you because I know you've got a lot going on. How are you doing?
Very well, Will. Just doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, good. Great. Yeah, I'm doing really well. I just got back from Europe and getting settled in here again. And we're looking forward, I think a lot of people are looking forward to the event you put on every year in Cincinnati in October, the Jubilee. You want to say it? Do you have any news about that or anything else?
Sure. The Jubilee Peace Fest is coming up pretty quickly in October. Actually having a couple of pre-Jubilee parties, a couple in Cincinnati, one in Cleveland, Ohio, another one, a virtual one online. And this year is our fifth year anniversary celebration. And we're always wondering what can we do this year? What is possible to do this year that's so different from the other years, and especially for this fifth year celebration? So, we're having more food than ever before. I think we have 7 or 8 amazing vegan chefs coming from all over the country. And so they'll be doing lots of cooking classes and cooking demos. And so Hannah Kaminsky's coming. She's written a vegan ice cream cookbook, and she also writes for Veg News. So we're real enthusiastic for Hannah to be coming. And then just an amazing cross-section of vegan spiritual leaders and teachers all across the country are coming that have never come before. Probably about another 7 or 8 of those. And we just feel very fortunate that such an amazing array of powerful vegans are all coming together in one place to go on a pilgrimage, say, to go seek out all of these people and to learn from them and to enjoy their company would just take years and years and thousands of dollars. And so it's really fun for us just to have all of these people all come together for 4 days in one place and really exchange ideas and thoughts and feelings and just to share the peace that is spoken of in the World Peace Diet, and to know how a peaceful world can actually be, and then to go out and to share that with other people. So we're really looking forward to this October 17 through the 20th.
Great. Wow. That's the fifth one. And Madeline and I have been to every single one of them presenting over the years from the first one. Of course, you were... I think everybody in the call knows that you were the first one, really, to instigate the World Peace Diet study groups, and it was in Cincinnati, and now we have the World Peace Yoga with Anna Ferguson, and it just keeps spreading to the Jubilee and to a real outreach. I think Cincinnati is becoming the vegan hotbed of the Midwest, or maybe the whole central United States. And really, it's amazing how just a few people can ignite that spark and get people inspired. And it's great to see the way you guys are not only being creative but being hardworking and persistent. I think my father always said, I don't know if it's true or not, but my father always said that I think it was Henry Ford, or maybe it was Edison, one of those guys said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
Perspiration.
Right? And it's, that 1% inspiration is really important, but the 99% perspiration, I mean, just, persistently getting up every day and doing what we can to spread the word, to go deeper in our own understanding and connect with others and come up with new ideas. I think it's just that not getting discouraged, but just keep moving forward, and we create ripples that spread all around the planet, really, I think, and we've seen that. I remember a couple of years ago we had that fellow from South Africa who came for the World Peace Diet certification program that we do there every year, and I still hear from him and the people in South Africa, and I know there's so many other ripples that are continuing out from this. The certifications that you do for the World Peace Yoga, which include the World Peace Diet and vegan training, as well as yoga training, and the vegan spirituality, intensive. That really is what the Jubilee is, bringing veganism and spirituality together, which is really unusual, I think, in our society to have that explicit. So it's great. I highly recommend this to anyone who is listening, or if you have friends in the area. Let them know about the Jubilee, and it's a great thing. And I think also, Mark, you're besides the work you're doing with the World Peace Yoga and the vegan training there that's happening and the teacher training, you're working on opening up another vegan restaurant in Cincinnati too, right? So that's, I'm sure, slowly moving forward as well.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, we just launched a new website. And we're just tickled pink with that. So it's really 5 websites in one, because not only is it World Peace Yoga, since the Jubilee Peace Fest, also World Peace Marketplace, which will be part of the restaurant, so there'll actually be a retail vegan retail area of food and other items. And and of course the restaurant, which is Peace House Grill. So it's all moving along, and we're just very enthusiastic. And as a matter of fact, Anna has almost finished the World Peace Yoga book, which I think she's about. I think I'm in line now to edit it, and then we're sending it to you so that you can look at the manuscript. And so that will be published very soon. And it's an interesting thing about that, because so many people think that yoga is the postures, the asana. And it is that. That is true. And by some estimations, depending on when you just kind of break up all the different parts of a yoga practice, some people look at that as being only 1/16th of yoga. Some people look at it as being 1/32nd of yoga. So I don't know how many people on this call themselves yogis or that they practice yoga, but from my point of view, if they're on this call, that means they're a yogi. We believe that the most important part of the most important practice of yoga is ahimsa, and recognizing ahimsa and then coming into satsang, which is coming into community and sharing these philosophical ideas and living these philosophical ideas. So that's really why we feel that it's such a great experience to come to the Jubilee and for people to share this great satsang and practice ahimsa in its truest sense. And we just have a lot of fun doing it with music and food, and it's going to be in the fall, so of course it's beautiful fall weather and beautiful colors, and this is the fifth facilitator training as well.
Right. Yes. Y'all, I think it's, at this point, we're doing a full World Peace Facilitator training as part of the Jubilee on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so people can, you know, basically be at the Jubilee Peace Fest, take classes with me and with Madeline, and also participate in the lectures and workshops and other events that are happening at the Jubilee. And at the end, if you're involved actually, you know, in the training, it's a certification process. So if you know anyone who would like to go through the training in person, it's available this October in Cincinnati, and it's a great, like you say, it's a great location for it too. We really love it there.
And we're really looking forward to Madeline's presentations this year. That's going to be she's always been there with you, but this year we'd like to focus more on her, so it's going to be fun to spend more time with Madeline. So she's just
great.
A wonderful, wonderful spirit to be around, so.
Great. Well, thanks, Mark. It's really exciting to hear about these developments, both with the Jubilee Peace Fest and with the restaurant and the yoga studio. And what's the website that everybody should go to find out more?
They can either go to worldpeaceyoga.com, or they can
go to
jubileepeacefest.com. It'll take them to the same place, and they'll see the same tabs, and and once you go there, please either let me or Will know. We love to hear your feedback and how you liked it and how your visit was on the website. And that's some really important information so we can all stay connected and collaborate and have fun together.
Great. All right, Mark. Thanks for calling in and letting us know about that. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah,
great.
Thank you. All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Wow. Bye. So, we've started off here, and I could probably get a word in, and we heard all these terrific, actually, reports from the field, from Veronique in Southern California, and from Pamela in Seattle, and Mark in Cincinnati, and I know a lot of you who are on the call are working on things in your area, either in your area locally or perhaps online. And what I'd like to do is just spend a couple of minutes talking about what we've been discovering since last month, since our last call on our travels, and then, of course, reiterate that if you have any thoughts about what I'm saying, any questions or concerns, or any thoughts about anything else you'd like to broach to the community and really this precious time that we have together, please just press star 2 and I'll be able to see that your hand is up. So since the last time we were together in June, there's been quite some interesting things happened. I went to the Animal Rights Conference and spoke there at the end of June, and that was the largest animal rights conference ever. It was over 1,000 people in Washington, D.C., and I was actually quite honored. They specifically invited me to come. I wasn't going to go, but they asked me to come, and I gave the closing plenary talk for the conference, in which I focused on what I feel is, you know, very important, which is the emphasis of bringing spirituality and personal transformation, personal growth work to the animal rights movement. Because typically at the Animal Rights Conference, all of the talks focus on strategy, focus on the bad guys, you know, the industries, and the terrible things that they're doing to animals, and how can we mobilize public opinion, how can we liberate the animals, and basically seeing the animal rights movement and really the vegan movement as another social justice issue. And so what I was basically emphasizing in my, one of the things anyway, in my talk was the importance of understanding the truth, I think, that as Gandhi said very well, there can be no authentic social transformation without personal transformation. And going vegan is a terrific transformation, I mean, on the physical level, on the outer physical level, give up eating meat, dairy products, eggs, wool, silk, leather, products tested on animals and all that. However, that's just the very beginning first stages, I feel, in understanding what veganism is all about, and that it's very important for us as people who want to help embody what veganism is and really exemplify it in our lives, that we don't just stop there, but that we can cultivate our consciousness as best we can so that we become, each one of us, a living example of what veganism is, which is, as Mark said, ahimsa, which is the essential core, I think, of all the spiritual teachings of the world. So this is not some kind of religious, I mean, it's a religious notion, but the essential idea, I think, in spiritual teachings is of uncovering the truth that we are, and not being slaves to conditioning of whatever society we're born into, but rather connecting with our own inner wisdom and intuition and compassion and the inner beauty and light that we are and the wisdom that we have to live our lives authentically. And that this is, looks from the outside like spirituality, but it's essentially just living our lives like we mean it, in a sense. I mean, authentically and in a way that blesses others rather than trying to use and manipulate others for our own advantage. And veganism, to me, is the modern or the contemporary spiritual path of our time, because it is rooted in an ancient wisdom tradition that's eternal and vital and beyond any kind of compromise. It's really the core of all the teachings. And yet it's also eminently practical and something that we can really put into practice in our society today. Our food, of course, is the main place, but all of our purchases and our ways of relating to non-human animals, I think, really mirrors our consciousness and how well we understand the preciousness and the interconnectedness of all life. So I issued, a challenge really to the animal rights movement to broaden its perspective, to instead of just looking in a shallow way at this as us against them and we have to change them, to actually transform ourselves as vegans and as activists for liberation of all beings. And that if we authentically do that, if we actually are, as a movement, transforming ourselves, that we will create a movement that is absolutely unstoppable, that will become a magnet, that will attract people in a very enthusiastic and creative and core level, and the movement will for sure just grow and become unstoppable. It will be completely unstoppable. It really requires us to, however, to actually make these inner changes and to do the inner healing work that is necessary for us to embody these changes, to get over the insecurity, the low self-esteem, the guilt and anger and fear and so forth that we all I think have to work with. And so I think it's very helpful to have a practice of some kind. Yoga, broadly conceived, I think is an excellent path. Meditation, forgiveness work. There's a variety of disciplines from all the spiritual traditions of the world, as well as in psychology, the personal growth movements and so forth that help us to really begin to make these changes, but and to realize that what we are is not merely a thing. What we are is actually a manifestation of eternal consciousness, and to then to take time to cultivate in our awareness so that we're in the present moment and relaxed and aware and simply able to be the fullness that we are, and then bring that into our experiences and into our interactions in the fires of daily life, and that as we do that, our message will have much more weight because people will feel that we're living this, we're not just talking about it. And that, I think, is something that we can never fake. And all the talk that we hear, I heard especially at the Animal Rights Movement, on tactics and strategies and percentages and marketing the message and all these things, I think on one level maybe they're useful, especially for organizations that are trying to bring the message to the public. But I think on a bigger level, we have to realize that this is essentially a grassroots movement. And when we have organizations doing the work of spreading the vegan message, we have problems because organizations essentially are mercenary. They only exist by virtue of the fact that they can raise money. And so they are always going to be trying to raise money and looking for ways to do that. And when we have people who are mercenaries in the movement, just in it, in a sense, I mean, I know their hearts are in it, but also they're in it for the money. They're getting paid by organizations and so forth. And that was one of the, I chaired actually the big debate between the animal welfare representative, Bruce Friedrich, and the animal liberation or abolition perspective, Gary Francione. And I think that's a big part of it, of that debate is, in a sense, between people who are mercenaries, not in a negative sense necessarily, but just people who are just simply hired to do this work, and organizations that exist in order to supposedly help liberate animals or at least to reduce suffering to animals, and volunteers who are simply doing it, who are just volunteering. And I think ultimately the real power of our movement is in volunteers. I mean, we can volunteer in all kinds of ways and give classes and lectures and put on in groups and boot camps and all these things. And we can, I think it's totally fine to ask for some reimbursement for our time and efforts and so forth. And that's fine and helpful. So we can carry on. But the basic idea is that we have each one of us within ourselves a living, breathing reality of veganism, and the more we have these some movements call it points of light. The more we have millions of points of light, and we're connecting with each other, and we're connected with the source of what we are, then we will inspire others and we will create movements that are much more powerful. And I think we see the social media, Facebook and the internet in general, as well as other ways of connecting in the grassroots level. I know Lily, for example, is a World Peace Diet facilitator who works a lot through phone bridges, telephone. But there's ways of connecting with people all over the world as well as in our communities nowadays. So we don't have to have big organizations to get things done. Now that's a very important point. That's a point that Jerry Francione made. I was actually called upon to, I guess you all know this, to moderate this debate between Jerry Francione and who's basically a law professor at Rutgers University. So he's not working for an organization. He's just doing his own thing. He's an author and so forth. And Bruce Friedrich, who was a vice president of PETA and is now I think a vice president in some or director of outreach in some capacity for Farm Sanctuary, and talking about the relative merits of getting bigger cages and so forth versus just focusing on vegan education. And that's a huge debate. We can we can talk for a long time, and that's what it was amazing to see, because that event, we set up for that event, and we had to move the wall. We had to completely move back. We had probably, I don't know how many, 800 or 900 people came in for that event. It was completely packed. It was such a highlight of the conference to have people have a chance to really talk about this and ask questions and so forth. So it's really one of the burning questions in our movement, and it has also been, I think, in all of the movements, the basic question of mercenaries versus, in a sense, this is the way I look at it, versus volunteers. And volunteers typically are more radical. They want to go for a direct solution to the problem rather than working with the existing industries. And organizations tend to be more conservative. From my point of view, they tend sometimes to just be begging for crumbs from the table, from the existing industries, and then proclaiming a victory if they get a few crumbs and the animals get a few inches, and then they can raise more money to allow them to continue on. But whether the animals actually get a lot of benefit from this, it's somewhat debatable. And I think I don't ever actually find it, from my own point of view, helpful to criticize groups, because I think, you know, they have, in a capitalist system, if all these groups just disappeared, we'd get said, okay, they're not good, we're going to get rid of them all. By tomorrow, they would spring up again, because people want that. People want groups that they can donate to that will do something to make them feel better about helping animals, and hopefully it is helping. But they are a reality, so there's no point in condemning them. I think the main thing for us to do, at least for me to do, is to do the best I can to help bring the message of compassion for animals to the world. And I think it's a radical message, which is why there's a lot of resistance to it. So in a sense, we're constantly confronting people in ways that they don't want to be confronted, so we find resistance. And yet I think the whole advantage to bringing this message to people is to find a way to do it where we show them that we're really on the same side by skillfully pointing out that if we're eating animal foods, we're doing it because of our social indoctrination, and it's not in our best interest. And I think the more people understand that, the more they're willing to look in the mirror and make changes. We found this a lot. After going to the Animal Rights Conference, I flew to Europe, and within like the next day, Madeline and I flew to Zagreb in Croatia, and they had a wonderful event there. I think there may be some pictures online. I can't remember what we have, or a video. I don't think there's a video, but the room was packed. It was standing room only. They had simultaneous translation from English to Croatian, so people could listen in headphones. They had a translator in the soundproof room, and he was translating, and I gave a lecture on the World Peace Diet, and the book has been translated into Croatian about 2 years ago. So they had copies of the book there, and it was wonderful to see the enthusiasm of everyone there for the message, and also on the part of the media. We did some interviews afterwards, and I think it was the National TV had an interview with us afterwards as well. It was very positive, and I think that is on YouTube. You can see that. I think there's a link to that, actually, in the notes. So we just found that it was very, very inspiring and heartwarming to see that in these countries where abuse of animals is in some ways worse than in the United States, I think, in the sense that that's what people told me, that there's less of a consciousness about caring for dogs and cats, at least. And there's a lot of, you know, people eating meat, but there are vegan restaurants. We went to a vegan restaurant in Croatia, that in Zagreb, and then the next day in Ljubljana, which is in Slovenia. And there's definitely our brothers and sisters who are working the same way we are to bring the message to the people in their country. And the Slovenian edition on the next day was launched. And they just finished translating it like a week before and publishing the book, and it was delightful to meet the people who were the translators and the designers of the book, and so enthusiastic to spread the message. And so it's great to see this happening in Eastern Europe, and we have, of course, now one of our World Peace Diet facilitators, Stephen Goodwin, has translated the World Peace Diet into French, and there is now a French website for the World Peace Diet. He's using that to help get a publisher for the World Peace Diet. But it's very beautiful, and I think to see it all written in French, to me, is very heartwarming, because that was my first foreign language that I ever learned to, a little bit to speak, was French, so I can actually read it, the website, and it's wonderful. But you can actually translate it, too, of course, by Google. If you go to the World Peace Diet site in French, there's a discussion of it in the community forums. If anyone's interested, you can go to the community forums, and you can see a discussion about it. I think a link to the website is there. And then also he's now actually translating the World Peace Diet into German. Multilingual ally we have, Stefan, is wonderful. So it'll be great to see how this all plays out. But we're finding a lot more interest in German, in Switzerland, Austria. While I was in Switzerland, I was interviewed by a woman who's creating what looks like it'll be just a beautiful video called Hope for All. It's going to be in English and in German. It should be out next spring. And it's featuring, besides, I guess, myself, also T. Colin Campbell and Howard Harold Brown and Jane Goodall and a few others and some German vegan doctors and so forth. So I just have a good feeling about this film. And that's another sign of progress, I think, that's happening in Europe. And also, when I was at the Animal Rights Conference, I want to mention that I had a wonderful connection with a woman. Her name is her last name is Marshall. I'm trying to look it up here. Liz Marshall. She is a producer, she's from Toronto, Canada, of an amazing new movie that's just being launched this fall called The Ghosts in Our Machine. It's a movie about how our society, the machinery of modern industrial society, how it abuses billions of animals. And I saw some of the previews, and this is a movie that's really going to make a lot of people aware. She's very savvy, Liz is, in marketing and getting this movie out. It's already, apparently, they've got a contract with the Canadian government to show it on national TV, the entire movie on national TV, if you can believe that. And then it's going to be in all the major film festivals, and so it's really going to make a huge splash, I think. And this is a movie to really watch out for. The Ghost in Our Machine, when it comes out, it's going to be talked about everywhere. And it's powerful. The parts that I saw in there are very powerful. And she's going to send me a link to the entire movie, so I'll be actually one of the only ones that will be able to see it, so I'll let you know when I watch it if it's really as good as it looks like it's going to be, but I think it will be. So these are, you know, there's just so much happening. I guess that's one of the things. There's just the movement is growing by leaps and bounds in terms not only of numbers, but in terms of impact, of creative expressions, in terms of people shaking off the barriers to their expressiveness and creativity, and really getting out there and being a voice for animals and for humans, for ourselves, for our society, for this earth. There's nothing more important than to do this, and that's one of the things I keep coming back to, actually, in this work is when we become aware of the Holocaust, which is being perpetrated on animals, that's the original meaning, actually, of Holocaust. And if you go way back to the Old Testament, with the mass burning of animals, it was a standard thing that happened there, the mass sacrifice of animals, that this is happening in an ongoing way. And so when we understand this is, you know, we're born onto a planet where the human beings, that, you know, the societies that we're born into are engaged in this massive Holocaust of animals that's devastating not only these poor, beautiful, innocent beings, but also our own sensitivity and wisdom and compassion and our environment and our health. How do we respond to that once we know? Do we mumble and grumble and ignore it and pretend it and hope it won't, it'll just go away if we don't look at it? Or do we embrace this in a meaningful way and do what we can to understand it more deeply and then to move and bring our lives into alignment with being part of a solution to this? And that's why I'm so grateful for all of you, because I know if you're on this call, you've been making these efforts, which are the kinds of efforts that are not appreciated by our society. We can work really hard to understand these issues and then get nothing but criticism from our friends and family for doing so, instead of appreciation for the sacrifice and the efforts that we're making. So, and not only that, we can find that we get criticism from other vegans as well, so that which can be really daunting very often for people. So it's important, I think, for us to respect each other and really be appreciative of everyone in the movement who's helping to in some way move the ball forward for non-human animals and for the movement. And that's what we saw when we were in Europe. We saw this definite enthusiasm in Eastern Europe. And, of course, in Switzerland, we were there primarily just to help Madeline's 93-year-old vegan mother a little bit and take a little bit of a break in nature. But we did see that the dairy industry in Switzerland seems to be in a real, I think, like here too. You know, they're running scared and they're advertising more vehemently than ever. They're trying to put dairy products in foods that you. I mean, I was amazed to see you cannot buy any chocolate in Switzerland that does not have milk in it anywhere, even in health food stores. The fruit juices had whey in them. The peanut butter had milk in it. The muesli had dairy in it. I mean, things. They even had tofu, which had cheese in it. I mean, it's like they just put everything under the cow, because in Switzerland, the dairy industry is so much a part of their identity. And it's also got a vice-like grip, I think, on the government. And it's similar here. I mean, it's not too much different. But fortunately, we have more freedom here, I think, to and more of a diversity of population, so we can bring the vegan message more clearly. But I am definitely hoping to bring it more to Switzerland, Austria, Germany, France, and so forth in the future, maybe next year or the year after. And when I came back, I was able to speak at the vegan spirituality retreat. We did one in Malibu with Lisa Levinson. She basically puts it all together. And then Madeline was still in Switzerland, but I was able to present at the one in Philadelphia. And again, it was a wonderful experience to see people coming together who are focused on these two aspects. So what it's been about an hour, and what I'd like to do, I think, here is just spend a couple of minutes talking just briefly about what I think is another aspect of the vegan spirituality movement that needs to be addressed and talked about a little bit more. And then, again, just maybe open it up to any comments or questions that you all might have. And also, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the threads on the World Peace Diet forums, the World Peace Diet Circle forum, because I think there were some fascinating things there. And also maybe say a few words about the resources for this month. So there's still a lot to go through, but and actually one other thing I want to mention in case I forget, which is that next month in August, from the 12th to the 15th, we're putting on Veganpalooza 2013. So next month, The third Thursday is actually falls within the Vegan Palooza. So we're going to be doing a fourth. It's actually five Thursdays anyway in August. So we'll be meeting next month on the fourth Thursday again. And I just want to encourage everyone. I'll send out an email before too long about Vegan Palooza. But if you'd like to be affiliates for this, you know, this is a great opportunity. If you have email contacts of any kind, let them know about Vegan Palooza 2013, and if they're interested, they can sign up. And we have we have James Cromwell, John Sally, Heather Mills, Dennis Kucinich, and Elizabeth Kucinich, and Scott Jurek, the greatest runner on planet Earth, who's a vegan. As well as some great vegan doctors like Michael Clapper and Alan Goldhammer, Melanie Joy, and Michael Greger, another amazing vegan advocate and MD, and a lot of other activists. I mean, we have such great people who are going to be speaking on Vegan Palooza this year. I think it's going to be even better than last year, and that's saying a lot because last year was kind of astonishing how well the whole thing went, how powerfully the message was, and how varied and how deep and broad as well. So as I was saying, if you'd like, you can be affiliates, you know, if you let people know, and if anyone, you know, it's basically a free event. Anyone can listen for 24 hours. After that, there's what we call the Vegan Inspiration Package, which is, I think it's going to be $97, and you can have the download tapes and download recordings and transcripts of all the sessions. And we have another package where you can actually get physical CDs if you want to have them and give them to friends or whatever. So, I think we decided 40%. of anyone you refer who signs up for that. So it's a good way to actually spread the message and then bring in some funds for your advocacy work to help you spread the message to other people. We found this is a great kind of, as they say, a win-win situation. So, Vegan Palooza is coming up, and I wanted to mention that. And then as far as veganism and spirituality, the more I'm thinking about all of this and talking to people and contemplating and meditating, it's what's emerging in my mind more and more clearly is simply the fact that veganism, really, as we look at it today in our society, is in many ways for our culture today, I think, the ultimate spiritual path. It is a spiritual path because it calls us to transformation in a way that I think most spiritual paths don't. If they don't explicitly include veganism, the radical inclusion and compassion for all beings that's explicitly demanded by and prescribed by vegan living, it really calls us, I think, to question at a very deep level our own programming. So this, to me, is an authentic spiritual path, and in many ways is much more authentic than the religions that we see being practiced around us. People can quite rightly criticize religions for enabling cruelty to animals that we see in the synagogues and churches and temples and mosques and everything. Very little questioning of the massive violence towards non-human animals for food and other products. And so to me, this is indicative of the fact that these are not really authentic, living, breathing spiritual traditions, because if they were, they would be raising our ethical standard and our consciousness and awareness rather than lowering it and numbing us and disconnecting us from the truth that the founders of the religions actually were pointing at. And this, that's what I mean. I'm not a big fan really of large organizations of any kind, because they tend to take on a life of their own and become very conservative in the sense of wanting to merely perpetuate themselves and perpetuate the problems that they're having. And it's become so obvious. For example, there's some new movies coming out. There's one, I think, I can't remember the title, something like Cancer Inc., INC, showing that, you know, cancer is a huge business. And the last thing they want, and the cancer industry wants, is a cure for cancer. And the same thing with the Diabetes Foundation and all these other, the Heart Disease Foundation and all these other ones. And I think in many ways, the animal protection groups as well. I mean, you know, they're making, and the environmental, a lot of environmental groups also, they like to have campaigns where they're raising funds supposedly to solve a problem or fight against a situation, like religions in the same way. But the actual transformative work is done by individuals and small groups working at a grassroots level who are fired up with the inner realization and awakening that actually changes lives in a positive direction. So I think veganism is going to be more and more recognized as the authentic and the ultimate, in the sense of the essential spiritual path of our time today. That is what it is, actually. And it not only will absolutely transform an individual, it'll transform our entire society, which is what a spiritual practice is supposed to do and what a religion or spiritual movement is supposed to do, to positively transform a culture. Veganism fits the bill. And it is not a static or limited spiritual path. It's absolutely unlimited. There is no limit to the potential of a human being who is authentically yearning to awaken to the truth of the interconnectedness of all living beings and the fully compassionate, loving presence that shines within our heart, to being a vehicle for the expression of this in our planet. This will cause us to transcend the fears and limitations and to heal the wounds that we have that have been inflicted on us. It will propel us ever onward to ever higher heights and ever deeper depths, in the sense of more profound understanding. And I think that more and more, we're going to be seeing any authentic spiritual movement must include the vegan element in its teachings, or it will be seen to be increasingly be seen to be irrelevant. And then I think also that veganism itself will be seen more and more as a spiritual path, not just limited to outer behavior of not eating meat, dairy products, and eggs, and so forth, but to being an inner transformation where we awaken out of the delusion of being a fundamentally separate self who only cares about my interests at the expense of others and manipulates human beings and situations for my own benefit, to instead of that being a force for generosity and abundance and kindness and compassion and caring for all beings, for all living beings, for the fishes in the oceans, the birds in the sky, the animals celebrating their lives on land, the future generations that are yearning for a world that is not completely devastated, the hungry of the world, those who are downtrodden, children, those who are on food stamps, who can't get enough to eat. I mean, we can see that animal agriculture and the whole system that has emerged to give subsidies, to make meat and dairy products much cheaper than they should be, creating armies of workers and of the pharmaceutical industry and all of this causing disease and hunger for so many people, causing social unrest and war and imprisonment, literal and figurative imprisonment of human beings, creating war and a wartime economy. All these things can be clearly seen to be linked to eating animals, the violence towards animals, and the mentality underlying all of that. And this cannot be hidden forever. I think, you know, we have an inherent intelligence. I'm still amazed that more people in the animal rights movement have not really awakened to this deeper understanding of veganism. I think there's, you know, I was talking about this on Saturday at the Vegan Spirituality Retreat, that I think there's, in a sense, there's a shallow understanding of veganism. That's obviously a shallow one where I'm just doing it for my health, and maybe it's a little deeper if I'm doing it for the environment. and maybe a little deeper more if I'm doing it because of compassion for animals, you know, but people, very often people will see a video of cruelty to animals, they'll be outraged, and they'll actually go vegan, but that's all they understand. If this is bad, this is a terrible thing to be treating animals like this, I'm going to go vegan, I'm not going to participate in this anymore. And very often, unfortunately, if their understanding just stops there, and they don't go any farther than that, then they very often will be always trying to, you know, convert people, which, you know, is great, and especially in the beginning, they have this sort of black and white view. This is bad, I'm good, I'm not going to be part of that, I'm a good vegan, these are bad people doing this. And then they find that relatively simplistic understanding, which isn't rooted in the deeper understanding of the culture and the whole dynamic involved, that they just create a lot of conflict in their lives and in their relationships, and all their friends leave them, and maybe their family members are fighting with them and so forth, and they can get very depressed and angry and frustrated and become, if they don't actually continue to grow in understanding, become bitter and kind of and cynical, and think that, well, not, you know, we can't do anything about it, and so I think that's a real trap that can happen. And in addition, it's very important for us to be conscious that we're eating healthy foods. T. Colin Campbell and his idea of a whole food plant based diet is very important. I think that we're not eating vegan junk foods, because a lot of people, and they're only reacting to the violence towards animals, and start eating a vegan diet that is full of genetically engineered soy, for example, genetically engineered canola and corn, non-organic fruits and vegetables. They're taking a lot of toxins. They're eating a lot of processed foods and refined foods. They don't feel very healthy. They don't feel very good. They don't look very good. And then the next thing they know, the doctor's telling them that they've got to eat some dairy or some fish or some chicken or something. And lo and behold, they think that, well, it's either them or me, I'm going to do it, and we find that people go back. So that's why I think it's great Veronique is doing a vegan boot camp to help people who are interested in veganism or already vegans to understand, get a good kind of a shot in the arm to, pardon the vaccination, pardon here, but get some encouragement to go deeper with veganism, to really to understand it at as deep a level as possible, and then our advocacy becomes who we are at a deeper level. That's one of the things that I think we are all called to contemplate more deeply and understand more deeply. And so thank you all for listening to that. I wanted to share those ideas. And I also wanted to kind of shift gears here. Now, if anyone has any comments or questions, obviously please press star 2. I was going through recently the community forums and the threads there, and there's a couple of things I wanted to emphasize because I thought there was some just wonderful exchanges. And I encourage everyone, if you're part of the World Peace Diet Circle, to go to the forums and share, because there's some amazing information, really great exchanges and links and videos, and I mean, you guys are all teachers of this as well as students. Like, I think we all are. We're all teachers and students, and we learn so much from each other. There's a thread about yoga and ahimsa. We've talked about that already, but I think it's very well, a lot of very articulate ideas there that are helpful, because I found that the yoga studios and yoga, it continues to grow by leaps and bounds in Western culture. And I think the teaching of ahimsa, which is foundational to yoga, is really the teaching of vegan living. And so the more we understand the ways we can bring this into the yoga studios and yoga movement, as well as other progressive movements, the more we're going to find that we're successful in transforming our society. And this is very important. I mean, I don't want to ever underestimate the importance of this. We're finding that the devastation we're wreaking on the planet right now, we do need to make a massive change quickly, and there's many ways we can look at how to do that, but I think foundational to all of it, personally, after looking into every dimension of this myself that I possibly could, is there's nothing more powerful to help create a better world for the future than to be an effective vegan advocate. I think that that is the greatest gift we can give to the world. And this is one aspect of that. There's a second thread that I would like to draw everybody's attention to. It's about organizing World Peace Diet events. And it was posted originally by Chris in Victoria, Chris and John, who are just wonderful World Peace Diet facilitators in Victoria, Canada. And we're going to be, Madeline and I will be traveling up there pretty soon, up in early September, and giving a few events in Victoria. And they are setting it up. And they were just talking about the resistance that they ran into, sort of inexplicable resistance on the part of Friends of Animals. Is that what it is? Yeah, Friends of Animals, which is an organization based in the States, in Connecticut. But they have a branch there, I guess, and how they just didn't seem to cooperate in helping them to promote the World Peace Diet and the upcoming events in Victoria, where it seems like they obviously would like to do that. And there's this sort of mysterious antagonism that we sometimes find among other vegans and other vegan groups, sort of a territoriality perhaps, or who knows what it is. I've seen that from time to time, and most of the time the response is quite enthusiastic. If anybody's read the World Peace Diet, usually they're enthusiastic, but there's still people who either haven't read it or maybe don't understand what it's pointing at. And Chris was talking about, I think, that maybe the people there or the young man involved thought that it was spiritual, and being an atheist, he didn't want to have anything like that as part of what they were doing. And so it's important, I think, for us to communicate as best we can with folks like this, to explain to them that this is not, that we sympathize, with their perspective that, yes, religions have been used by the culture of violence and domination and exploitation of animals to further the exploitation of animals. But what we're talking about with this vision of the World Peace Diet is questioning that and creating a model that and a way of living that is thoroughly vegan, thoroughly based on compassion for all life. And to help remove these prejudices and misunderstandings from people as best we can, and luckily that seems to have had a pretty positive outcome, because some of the higher up people in the organization were familiar with the World Peace Diet and could straighten that fellow out. But still, it's a fascinating thread to read. There's so much beautiful information and insight in that thread, and also the experience that I've seen myself, where environmental groups and environmental conferences do not make the connection with compassion for animals, and they're serving burgers and ham and cheese and telling people that they should change their light bulbs and buy a car that gets better miles to the gallon. I mean, it's just absurd, the kind of insane things are going on that are not helping at all. They're actually making things worse, and yet people, are being told that this is helping. So, again, of course, the whole idea is to breathe and smile, be patient, and do the best we can to educate people, and there are people who are willing to listen. It's just we're dealing with very deep-rooted addictions and programming in a society. So that's the second one. The third one, there's a great thread on the food system in the United States and really in the world, and the subsidies and how people are living in food deserts. They don't have access. Poor people don't have access to food. A lot of people are going hungry or on the brink of going hungry in the United States and other developed nations. And it's, of course, for sure in the less developed, so-called less industrialized. It's a better word than less developed. Less industrialized nations. Also, and to develop a big picture view of this, I think, is very important, and to understand how eating a plant-based diet and veganism really is the fundamental, most important contributing action and factor to creating a world where everyone has plenty to eat. There's this great thread on vegan veterinarians, which, again, is, we wish there were more vegan veterinarians. It's amazing. I mean, isn't it amazing that veterinarians are not vegan? Can you imagine going to a doctor who was a cannibal, and saying, please heal me, but don't eat me? And going, these poor dogs and cats are going to veterinarians who are eating animals. And, you know, I mean, it's almost the most appalling situation you can imagine for the poor animals. And so, you know, veterinarians are trained to basically see animals as objects, and that's part of the training. So it's great to see vegan veterinarians, and we're slowly starting to develop lists of vegan veterinarians. There's only a few, really, at this point, but I think there'll be more and more as time goes on. So that's interesting. I already mentioned the thread about the World Peace Diet being in French. There's another thread about Ruby Roth, her great book, Vegan is Love. Ruby Roth, Mark mentioned the Jubilee. I met her at the Jubilee in Cincinnati a couple of years ago. She was one of the presenters a couple of years ago, and she's a great, you know, and this idea of that vegan is love, and teaching children that vegan is love, and teaching and creating a children's book that teaches children that vegan is love, and that eating animals is not love, and showing children actually that some of the cruelty that animals go through for food and other uses. And the whole scandal, I guess, or the controversy about that arose, people were outraged that vegans were trying to show children the cruelty involved and the animals that go through. And I think it's a great question to ask ourselves, and our society needs to ask itself, which is, what do you think? You know, should we shield children from the violence towards animals, or should we show them? And, you know, can children take it? And personally, I think I tend to come down a little bit more on the side that we should. I think children would like to know. I mean, if we don't tell them, then how are they going to know? And it's hidden from them. I think this whole hiding of the truth, covering it up, and going into denial is enormously destructive. So those are some of the threads that I think would be really helpful for us. For anyone who's listening, if you want to, you know, look them up and contribute to those, there's more also. And then finally, it's getting late here. Please do go through the July resources that I put together for this month. I love this quote at the beginning by Arthur Conan Doyle. He's, as you all know, the author of the whole Sherlock Holmes mystery detective series, a British writer from the last century. Or whatever it was, two centuries ago, I guess now. This is the quote, "At the moment, our human world is based on the suffering and destruction of millions of non-humans." I just love that. "At the moment, our human world is based on the suffering and destruction of millions of non-humans." This sums it up. This is what we're talking about. Then he says, "To perceive this and to do something to change it in personal and public ways is to undergo a change of perception akin to a religious conversion. Nothing can ever be seen in quite the same way again, because once you have admitted the terror and pain of other species, you will, unless you resist conversion, be always aware of the endless permutations of suffering that support our society." I mean, what a gem that is. You know, he just nails it there, I think, so well. That it is a conversion, because once we awaken to this, once we see it, then we're never the same again. We can never go back. We realize that our society is founded upon, is based on, has at its core the massive violence towards literally billions of animals. And once we understand that, it changes our whole way of perceiving the nature of reality and of our society and of ourselves. And this is, I think, the message, the eternal message that we are endeavoring to understand and bring forth. So thank you, Arthur Conan Doyle, for that. "The Ghost in Our Machine," I think it's another way of saying that too. And also in the World Peace Diet, we talk about the "As we sow, so shall we reap," and everything that we do to animals literally boomerangs back. We find we're experiencing that ourselves. I just found the most amazing thing about cancer, how cancer is being inflicted on animals on a massive scale, and these animals are cancerous, and we're eating their flesh, eating the secretions and eggs and dairy products of cancer-ridden animals. And is there any question, you know, that, I mean, why, with the millions of dollars being spent on cancer research, is no one following that thread, that obvious connection that if we're eating the literally cancerous flesh and products from cancerous animals, that's going to be increasing cancer. And yet, of course, that is the last thing that is ever talked about in any medical journals. So, yeah, there's just great stuff here, and I'm thrilled to see this. There's, boy, the whole thing, the insurance companies are starting to move, which I think is excellent. It's a great article here on the bottom of the first page, What's Wrong with Single-Issue Campaigns. It's a really excellent article just about what I talked about earlier, large organizations using single-issue campaigns to raise money for themselves, and is it really helping animals? It's a great question. Excellent overview of veganic farming and gardening. I want to emphasize the importance of that because a lot of people think that we need to use animal inputs like manure and blood meal and fish meal and so forth to have a healthy plant, you know, vegetable and fruits and so forth. And so we're making a lot of progress in understanding that that's not necessary. Yay. A lot of other great stuff here. Just one article after another. A fascinating article here about Ben Franklin. In the 1700s, he introduced into the United States tofu. He actually called it tofu back in the 1700s. Talking about this soybean curd that he's discovered and how healthy it is. And I'm telling you, Ben Franklin introduced tofu. All right, and don't forget, anyone, you're encouraged to apply for a grant from the Pollination Project. We've had many people, the Little Peace Diet Facilitator trainings, who are interested in doing something in their community, have successfully applied for a Pollination Project grant. Let me know if you apply, and I can send a recommendation, which can help. It doesn't always help, but usually it seems to help. And some articles about the paleo diet, which I think is helpful. Articles on soy. Articles on there's an article. Maybe I don't see it here, but I wanted to mention it that Kaiser has now, which I think is incredible. Kaiser Health Centers in California, employing literally hundreds of thousands of people, after conducting extensive tests, is now recommending that everyone on the staff, all the doctors, nurses, everyone on the staff move to a whole foods plant-based diet, and that they make that the main way of modality of healing for patients. They focus on nutrition for healing patients. I mean, this is a huge watershed. This is a major change, a major shift. Kaiser is really, I think, showing the way of the future, that we're going to have health care that includes compassion for animals and eating a plant-based diet as the foundation of health, and not continuing to have hospitals and the medical establishment be working against this and supporting the torture and killing and enslavement of animals on such a massive level. And so with this coming from Kaiser, I think we're going to see a lot of progress happening quickly. So it's just amazing for me personally to see these huge changes happening, and more mainstream people are coming out in favor of a plant-based diet. So that's building the critical mass that's necessary. All right, I'm going to have to begin to wrap it up here. We've already gone far longer than actually we're supposed to. It's a good hour and a half here. There is someone with their hand up, and you've had your hand up for a little while I was trying to finish up here. So I'm going to unmute your phone. It says that you're from Iowa, and so you are unmuted now. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi, Will.
Hi.
Hi. This is Joe.
This is who?
Joe.
Joe.
Yes, Joe.
Great. Thanks. What would you like to say? You have a question or a comment?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you. We can all hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear you. Okay. I just wanted to say thank you. It's been life-changing. I took your World Peace Diet facilitator program last December, and I could really connect with when you were talking about how, as facilitators, we should actually be healthier, you know, in our own lives. And so that is something that I've been working on. And the other thing that I could connect with is you were talking about how that negativity, and the first year I was vegan, I was very angry and so disappointed in society. And I did alienate everybody. But I made a conscious decision last year to decide to be a happy vegan, you know.
Great.
And it just has made a world of difference, just, you know, just loving people and being compassionate. I get more people that are interested in what I'm doing when I stop pushing it. So I've been telling people, you know, it's attraction, not promotion, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks, Joe. That's great to hear. And I know, you know, living in, I think you're in Iowa, in that Des Moines area, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
I'm sure you experience your share of resistance there. But I know that you're planting seeds and actually consciously creating a positive attitude about this. I think it's one of the best, you know, the most important steps you can take. And it means taking time every day to cultivate a sense of gratitude and appreciation for the beauty of nature and of your own, of yourself and of life, and knowing that there are a lot, besides the suffering and cruelty and all that, there's a lot of love and compassion and positive energy. And I think that that's, it's not celebrated in the media. We just hear about the negativity, but it's important, I think, also to know that there's a lot of people working hard to create a positive future, and you're part of it. So thanks so much for doing the work you're doing. It's great.
Yeah, cool. Okay, that's all I wanted to say, and thank you again for this. This is my first time on. I couldn't figure it out, so.
Right. No, you did great. Thanks so much, Joe. Look forward to having you on again. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, I on one of the airplane flights that we took, somewhere along the way, I think, I can't remember where it was, just recently, like a few days ago, maybe on the way back from Europe, I was getting on the plane, I was walking down the aisle, going to my seat, and there was a young girl, and she had a T-shirt that said on the front of the T-shirt something, a saying. The saying was, it reminded me of what Joe was just saying. The saying was, it takes a lot of courage to be happy. I just thought that was great. It takes a lot of courage to be happy. And I think, you know, we can make a conscious choice to bring our consciousness into a state of appreciation and thanksgiving and of love for ourselves and others. And I think it really makes, you know, I think as we go vegan, it becomes easier because we're not harboring this defensiveness and this guilt and this sense of impending doom. You know, think of that. I mean, poor animals. That if we're eating any dairy products, especially dairy products, but dairy products, eggs, and the flesh, all these animals feel a sense of impending doom. They know they're born into a horrible situation of violence and misery. Their babies are stolen. Their lives are stolen. Their purposes are stolen. Their milk and eggs are stolen, and they're going to be killed, and they know it. And so if we're eating their flesh, we're eating this feeling of impending doom. I think we have to realize that we don't have to have a world of impending doom. That's an artifact of a meat-eating culture. We can have a world of impending joy, impending celebration, and impending benevolent revolution. And that is the world that we are creating together. And I think it's very helpful for us to affirm that and work together for that in the face of all of the other stuff that we see. that we are part of a positive transformation. And the most we can do, I think, is to start in, with ourselves and then let it radiate from there. There's a lot more we could say, but I want to, we're really at our time here. I want to thank everyone who contributed to the conversation. I'm sorry we didn't have time for more sharing, in a sense, but the time really, I feel, was wonderfully spent, and it was great to hear about the changes that you are all involved with. I was hoping to get to Lily Macy, because I talked to her a little bit this afternoon about what she's doing in California, but maybe what we'll do, I think we'll just leave it for next month, because we're already really past the time here, and I want to honor everybody's time. So thank you all so much for the efforts that you're making. Never doubt that any effort is ever lost. It may not appear when you talk to people that any great change happened, but I think it's important to know that we're always planting seeds, and we can plant seeds of compassion and kindness and awakening. And as we do that in ourselves, we will naturally be able to do it more effectively with other people, and that we're creating a field and really, I think, a movement and a team that is modeling the way of being in the future. So we're looking forward to our paths crossing. I'm so glad that we'll be going up to Victoria, up to Vancouver. In Vancouver, there's a great response there to our coming. There's going to be a big lecture there in Vancouver. And Seattle, Portland, other places, Eugene and Salem and so forth. So that's coming up soon, and we have Vegan Palooza coming up, so we'll stay in touch. Much love to you all. I'm so grateful for your presence in our lives. Madeline is in Switzerland, but she sends her love too. I know Steve as well. And as I say, go forth and multiply the joy and abundance and peace and health and wellness and well-being and creativity and exuberance that we are, because really our life here on this planet goes by very quickly, and every day is a precious gift. So thank you all for being gifts in our lives, and may we all be gifts in the lives of others as well. Much love to you all.
The conference is now completed.